Let's bow in prayer together. Lord, we do thank you that you are a good, good Father. The words of this song help us to express. But Lord, it also stretches us in faith. Because sometimes, Lord, we feel like we get buried and inundated by difficult things, and it's sometimes hard to see the blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this song written in faith. For this song helps us, Lord, even when we are going through hard times, and even like a child wanting to blame his father for this or that. Lord, we often do the same thing. Please forgive us. And we acknowledge, Lord, that you are good, that you love us. We take by faith what is written in the Scriptures, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, that you did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that we would be saved through him. Lord, we thank you today for your love. And we just, Lord, want to acknowledge that and stretch our faith today. Father, lead us through the sermon. Lead us, Lord, with attentive ears and hearts, open minds that your Spirit can speak. We need to hear from you, Lord. Our spirits need to be stretched. We live in a world, Lord, that even here in America is sheltered in regards to what being a follower of Jesus Christ really means. Lord, forgive us for taking the easy way. Father, today I pray that you would prepare our hearts for obedience, and may we choose to obey. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. Bless the offering as it is received in a few moments, Father. As you've multiplied the loaves and the fish, please multiply the dollars that are given for your honor and glory. Lord, you are good. You are good. Multiply the resources in our home, Lord, as we give. May we come to you in faith, putting you first, bringing our tithe, and just believing, Lord, that you will help us and you will provide the means to meet the bills and obligations that we have. And Lord, when the bills are too many, may we consider that maybe we've overextended ourselves and maybe we need to cut back. Lord, help us live within our means that we may be faithful to your work and to your kingdom. We love you, Lord. Thank you for teaching us to prioritize our lives after your goodness and in faith. In Jesus' name. Let's sing that again. You're a good, good Father.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
You know, we put our all into this morning's worship practice. And as you probably noticed, there were a few deficits. But I want you to know we tried. Is that okay? We really wanted to give our best this morning, and I feel like we did. But I chose a couple songs that weren't right once we got here this morning. And so thank you for your patience. And I hope that you were able to worship through that and that we weren't too much of a distraction to you, basically me. I started off in the wrong fret. So sorry, Bill and Steve, you caught it. Yeah, the wrong notes they were playing and blaring out were me. I set them off on the wrong foot, so I apologize for that. I hope that you could worship through that and not see it as too much of a distraction. If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 17. We'll be picking up there in a moment. You're getting the cards now, so I would like for you to take those. And we're going to be giving you an opportunity to write on those in a little bit. Last week, we started a new series called The Gift. And we looked into the life of Joseph, the father, earthly father of Jesus, and how he must have wrestled with the wrapping of the Messiah. This gift of God that was gift wrapped by God came wrapped in some unusual packaging, didn't he? He came wrapped, being conceived by this Holy Spirit and carried by his fiancée, with whom he had had no sexual interaction with. The angel came to Joseph and said, "Don't be afraid." Well, the first thing that any of us would want to do is jump towards anxiety and apprehension about what in the world was going on. Those feelings, whenever we are challenged by God to stretch ourselves into faith, must be met with faith. Amen? When's the last time God challenged you to obedience and you felt the apprehension and the anxiety rise in you? I can tell you that this morning during small group, am I a fan or a follower, that came up in me again. Because I was challenged that there are some things that may be competing for my attention between God and I. Thirdly, the king, the Messiah, was born in a stable. What an unusual wrapping for a king. Swaddling clothes, basically rags, born in a stable. The gifts of God grow our faith. Many times the things that he gives us, we don't appreciate. We look at the wrapping and we consider, we shake the box a little bit and we think, if that's what it is, if that's what I think it is, I'll just as soon open some other things first. And someday, maybe when I need it or get bored, I'll open it and see what's really in there. So we shake what we think God's given us and we look at the wrapping, Jesus, born to a man and woman, Jesus born in Bethlehem in a stable, and we think, you know, could it really be that he's as valuable as everybody says he is? James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God not only gives us his Son, the perfect gift, but he also gives us a variety of spiritual gifts. And that's part of what we're talking about in this series. Not only is Jesus the perfect gift, but he also gives us spiritual gifts. I run a risk this morning because I'm going to share some of my testimony, and I don't like to do that because I don't want the sermon to be about me, and yet I can think of no better way to share with you what this scripture means than to tell you how it's changed my life. And so if you'll pardon, if you'll understand why I'm going to talk for a few minutes about how this applies to my life, I hope that it will help you in your spiritual walk as well. And I know each of us has our own story about how God is working and changing our lives. This message is also very practical. We're going to bring it out of the abstract and into the concrete before we get too much further in this message. The gifts that God gives us, first of all, His Son, but second of all, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are good and perfect too. Amen. In the fall of 1984, Jeanette and I were newly married and students enrolled at Olivet Nazarene University. Jeanette had received a strong calling from God to prepare herself in service to the Lord in the field of counseling, in which she now serves. I was enrolled in some classes that first semester that would apply to basically anything, because I didn't know what I was going to be doing with the rest of my life. I was interested in several things, and I've told you what those are. But I had this sense that God desired to bless me and could bless basically any occupation I had chosen, I would choose. But I also come to the conclusion that I had not really prayed through on any of the options that I had given to the Lord that my life might consist of. Being a trucker, a dairy farmer, a chef on a cruise ship, or a forest ranger. Or a professional wrestler, right. I was interested in several things, and my faith had taught me that God would bless my life as I was obedient to Him. However, I had not really prayed about what He wanted me to do. I had ideas, but I had not yet asked God what He wanted for my life. One night, Jeanette and I were reading from 1 Peter, and I read this verse, 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Let's read that together, because there's so much there. Let's read it. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I didn't hear you. Were you reading? Some of you were. Would the rest of you who were listening to the rest of us read, go ahead and join in? Okay. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That night, I felt that I had assurance because God had given me direction. I want you to hear me here, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding in regards to God's call on our lives. I felt that night that I had assurance. God had given me direction, but not so much that I would be a pastor, but rather that God would bless me if I used what I had, the gifts that He had given me, for His honor and glory. Can you hear me all the way back? I wanted a particular office, a particular occupation, a particular career, and God said, before you go there, John, I want you to grasp the understanding that whatever you do, I will bless you. As long as what you do is in obedience to me, as long as what you do is surrendered to me. And John, I have given you gifts, and I want you to use them, and I will bless those gifts. And before you conjure up ideas of what that's going to look like, I want you first to surrender the gifts to me and to acknowledge that in their raw form, they're practically unusable, John. But if you will let me form and mold and shape you, I will give you a career, a calling, an occupation, a job, a ministry, something. And I wanted to jump ahead of God, but God stopped me first and said, John, realize I will bless you. I am a good, good father. Father who gives good gifts. Amen. That night I felt that I had assurance. And the focus of the blessing from God wouldn't necessarily be in material form. I am blessed that way, but I also know that the real blessing would be in genuine spiritual growth, in maturity, and in life fulfillment. It was then a little later that I understood that one aspect of his blessing would be to develop into a life of ministerial service, which included the pastoral ministry in which I now happily serve. There was one major problem, though, and you've certainly witnessed it already this morning. As I was unwrapping the gifts that God gave me, I was in some spiritual conflict because I had not experienced the gift of gab, and nor had I experienced fluidity in my speech in public speaking. And as I came before God and I said, Lord, you want me to do what? And I, like Moses, I said, but Lord, I stutter. I can't speak sometimes when I'm in front of people, and sometimes it's even hard for me to speak when I'm one-on-one with an individual. Sometimes the words just don't come out. I think them. I have ideas and concepts, but to apply words, it's hard for me, Lord. And so I presented this thing to God. I said, you've given me this gift, and I realize that you are going to bless it. But Lord, what am I going to do with this? I was faced with two questions. What do I do with this? And what was he thinking? And I got a picture here from A Christmas Story that's going to come up. Poor Ralphie. He got a pair of pajamas from his aunt. Was it Aunt Sarah? Or Aunt Sarah, that's what I thought. He opened these up and he was all excited about what this gift might be. And he was like, oh, what do I do with this? And what in the world was she thinking? And you may be this morning saying, what in the world do I do with this? And what in the world is he thinking? Like getting something for Christmas that seems to be the wrong size or even the wrong item you really didn't fully appreciate, or maybe you even thought, what in the world am I going to do with this? The first thing God used this verse, 1 Peter 4:10, for in my life was that he used it to communicate to me that he has given me at least one spiritual gift. Each one should use whatever gift he has received. That means that there is a gift in God's kingdom for you. You have already received it. You may or may not have opened it, but there is a gift, at least one, for each of us. I wasn't even sure as I started out, Jeanette and I getting married and moving away and enrolling in college, I wasn't even sure what my gift was yet. But I did have the faith to believe that if I gave whatever I had to him, and this is key for all of us, I believe, I had the faith to believe that if I gave whatever I had to him, he would bless it and it would be used to help people come to know the same love that I had come to know through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I prayed. Jeanette will remember, and she was with me. We participated in fasting for a couple of weeks, just one meal a day and praying. That unfolded a bunch of things happening that just were God. They were trigger events that helped us understand that God was moving in our lives. I prayed a different prayer than I've ever prayed before. Now, I had prayed for God to have my heart in salvation. And I had prayed for God to have my future in entire sanctification. But that day I gave God the raw gifts he had given me to be used by him in whatever way he saw fit. What I now realize is that in praying that prayer, I was giving God permission to develop the gifts he had given me. Now here's where this message gets absolutely practical. I realized that in praying that prayer, I was giving God permission to develop the gifts he had given me through schooling, training, investment, etc. I realized that God could have given me from birth the gift of gab. He could have given me fluidity of speech. He could have made it easy for me to stand up here and just wow you with how amazing the guy can talk. But he didn't. Instead, he said, John, I'm going to take you through the ringer. Because there's things that I want to use as I develop you that you're going to learn in the process. Can you hear me all the way back? You see, I had a lot of preparing in my heart to do. It wasn't just about learning to speak. It was about the attitude of my heart. And through the training, God began to address the deeper issues in my life. I realized, you know, I tried it, I'll be honest. I got up on a chair in the middle of my apartment and I started to preach to the sofa and the cabinets and the TV, and I just asked God to just loose my tongue. And I'll be honest, that helped. But my tongue still got tied up in knots. And I thought, Lord, why don't you just make this, if you're calling me into this area of ministry, why don't you make it so that I don't have to go through all the training? And he said, John, I need you to go through the training because I'm not only going to loose your tongue, I'm going to prepare your heart. It was through the schooling and through the training, while he was developing my gift, he was also preparing my heart. You see, through the training, he developed persistence in me to handle the hard days in ministry, at least to know that they were coming. He developed in me the ability to learn from constructive criticism, that I didn't have to be the expert in the room all the time. That there were others who had input that I could learn from. All these very important things that I may not have learned had he just given me fluidity of speech. And oh, how I wanted the gift without the hard work. Without the investment. Here's the difference between the miracle and the gift. A miracle gets the job done right now, immediately, meets the need on the spot. And God has used miracles throughout the past. And I believe to a certain extent, he still uses miracles to intervene in miraculous ways that help turn unbelief into belief. Amen? Do you believe that today? I believe that sometimes he still intervenes on someone's deathbed and brings them back to life. I believe that God still performs divine healings. I believe that God still helps us communicate cross-culturally when language is a barrier. A miracle gets the job done right here, right now. Those people on that hillside, we're either going to have to share that lunch of that little boy, or God was going to provide. And I believe that he provided miraculously. Amen. Here's the difference between the miracle and the gift, though. A miracle meets a need at a specific time, at a specific place. A gift requires training. Training creates a culture of respect for processes and wholeness for the entire person. Can you hear me? It moves from a specific time and a specific place to all times, in all places, continually, and with the heart of Christ. As we subject ourselves to the rigorous training of what it means to develop a gift that He's given us in its rawest form, we develop the heart of Christ, a culture of respect that respects the process and develops wholeness for the entire person. Amen? Training is painful. Doing papers. Back then, I don't know what they require at school today. Reed could probably say 10-page papers. Still the same stuff, isn't it? What's happening? We are learning to submit to a process of creativity and producing something of worth. If God made it all easy with miracles, what kind of culture would be created in the kingdom of God? Instead, if we had, think about it for a minute. If we had no pain, and all we had to do in life whenever we broke a bone was to ask the pastor to pray for us and the bone was healed, wouldn't that be neat? But let's think about it. Wouldn't we probably become incredibly reckless and disrespectful and dangerous in the lives of others, like a child who never hears the word no? Training and preparation, in my case, developed not only my gifts, but also me as a whole person. It made the work of the kingdom of God, this is important, you might want to write it down, it made the work of the kingdom of God reproducible and multipliable. The difference between miracles and gifts. Miracles are for one time, specific place. Gifts through training produce a culture of wholeness and respect of processes. It makes the work of the kingdom of God reproducible and multipliable. Perhaps this is what Jesus meant when he said in John 14:12, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things because I am going to the Father." Have you thought a minute? Have you thought about it? That what we are doing is even greater than the miracles that Jesus performed. Why? A miracle is for a moment, meets a specific need. But Jesus prayed that we would bring the kingdom of God from heaven to earth through recognition of our gifts, through training and development, through submitting to the process and humility gleaned through the process. We share the gifts of God through the heart and humility of Jesus Christ. I began learning, and with learning came confidence. I began practicing, and with practice came refinement. I began subjecting myself to discipline, and with discipline came sustainability. I invested by enrolling, by paying, by investing, and consistency developed faith and faithfulness. Qualities that God blesses us with as we submit to the process of refinement in our life. Let's go back to James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God not only gives us His Son, but He gives us a variety of spiritual gifts as well. They are perfect and they are good. Amen? We have a team in our church called the Natural Church Development Team. And we have been meeting with a coach. And we found that as a result of taking the survey of church health in our church several months ago, we found that our deficit, or the place where the water's running out of the bucket, is spiritual gifts. The place where we are losing momentum and steam is that we're not utilizing our spiritual gifts in ministry. Now that's strange to me, but not really, because the fact is, Jeanette and I, the vision that God had for us as a church was that all of us would be using our gifts in ministry. And I have to tell you that it's been hard sometimes, because we've got bases that, if we're going to be who we have presented ourselves, who we're going to be to the community, there are bases that need to be covered, like staffing of the nursery, staffing of children's ministry, staffing of the sound tech and the video and everything that goes on. And if we present ourselves to the community as a fully functioning church that can meet the needs of the entire family, we have some bases to cover. Now, how does a church that is comprised of beautiful people, but some of them say, I don't really feel like I'm gifted in that area, I can't, so therefore I'm not going to serve. That's hard to deal with, isn't it? Because we either have to change how we're going to present ourselves to the community, or step it up in refinement and development of our gifts. And that is being worked out as we speak in our church. I don't think it's a bad process. I think it's an important process for us to go through. But that's part of the sermon this morning, is that each of us, I believe, can hear from God in a similar way that I did in regards to what our gifts are and how they can be effective in contributing to the wholeness of the body. I want to list and read the listings of the groups, or of the spiritual gifts in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12:8-10. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge. You're going to, maybe some of these, as I read these lists in Scripture, you're going to say, I've got that one. I know I've got that one. And maybe you're going to say, I don't even know what that is. But I'm going to read three lists in Scripture that share the gifts, the spiritual gifts, that God gives to the church to do His work. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Let's go to Ephesians 4:7-13. Thank you. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when He ascended on high, He led captives in His train and gave gifts to men. What does He ascended mean except that He also descended into the lower regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fulfill the universe. And then 11-13. Did you have Ephesians 11, 4, 11 through 13? There it is. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given me, as I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the other members. And then 6 through 8. I gave Brad so much this morning. Thank you, Brad. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And now some direction from 1 Corinthians 4:12. So it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. 1 Corinthians 14:12. Let me read that again while Brad digs that out. There it is. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. You know, the men's group that meets at the barbershop, we're going through 1 Corinthians, and we're just digging into this right now. You see, we can be eager to receive the gifts, but not so eager to give them. Just like a child on Christmas morning, huh? Bring me all the presents. But not so eager to give. Let's remember what 1 Peter 4:10 says. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Let's remember that we need to be washed from the consumer-driven mindset and be careful not to bring it into the church today. Let us follow the example of Christ. As Jesus got up from the table at the Last Supper and removed his outer cloak, he tied it around his waist and he began to wash the disciples' feet. He moved from guest to servant. He moved from being served to serving. This is the future of every follower of Jesus Christ. Can you hear me all the way back? When we have gaps in the church to fill, I believe as the body of Christ functions in wholeness, I believe that we have the gifts to fill the gaps. It may mean that the person who has the gifts to help fill the gaps doesn't understand yet their significance, the gift that they have, or the importance of the role they fulfill within the body. It'd be like a body without a vital part, a necessary vital part, trying to ride a bicycle. It'd be like a body without a foot, trying to ride a bike. The body will be hindered in its effectiveness until the foot figures out that it's connected to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone's connected to the leg bone, and the leg bone's connected to the hip bone. You get the idea. We move from guest to servant. The moment we receive Christ, we die to self, and the desire in us to be served. It's not something that happens without pain and agony because it involves our choice. However, we follow Jesus and seek to do for others what he has done for us in laying our lives down. Skillfully woven throughout the movie, A Christmas Story, is the value of humility. When Aunt Sarah gave Ralphie this gift, Ralphie was not at all excited to put it on. And in fact, his father said, "You look like a deranged Easter bunny." But it's that development, that humility, that acknowledgement that the person who gave you the gift gave it to you because they love you. The Christmas story is, it talks about the value of humility. He didn't want pajamas that were pink and made him look like a rabbit. He wanted what? A Red Ryder BB gun with carbine action, 200 shot with a compass on the stock. He was not at all excited about pajamas. And of course, the gift that he really wanted was dangerous. Thus, "You'll shoot your eye out, kid." But it wasn't until he grew as a person that he learned that there were real dangers to getting what he wanted before he was properly trained and prepared. You remember? Remember his vision? Remember his dreams? He was shooting from the hip. That's what he saw himself doing. But remember that first Christmas morning he went out with, took his first shot? Didn't understand ricochet and all those big words. Pink, pink. Nearly took his eye out. His glasses went flying. Ended up stepping on his glasses. He had this dream of what it would be like. But he needed training. Or he could hurt himself or others. He learned the value of keeping his temper in check and saying bad words was not a good thing, even if he learned them from authority figures. He learned the value of not bowing to peer pressure. Got the one with him, got his tongue on the pole there, Brad. He learned that there were misguided people out there. You remember the bullies in the schoolyard who can cause pain because of their own insecurities? And he learned that he just might shoot his eye out if he wasn't careful. Even with a good gift, we can use it wrong. We need training, instruction, accountability. We need to be fat, faithful, available, and teachable. Along with every good gift comes an instruction manual. Every good gift, God desires that we be prepared, educated, instructed, and trained in our gifts. Gifts are divinely given abilities that we are capable of exercising within the context of the kingdom of God. But just because we have a gift does not mean we don't need training. Rather, just the opposite. Because having a gift and not being ready to exercise it can hurt. Paul states in 1 Corinthians 12:1 that he does not want any of us to be ignorant or uninformed. You see, there were some in the church who were discouraged because they didn't have the gifts that some of them had, and the people that were really gifted were getting all puffed up and prideful about the gifts that they had. And they were beginning to treat those below them with neglect and contempt, and with a view to both of these, the apostle writes, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, about spiritual gifts. And look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He gives them an order to what it means to conduct church, conduct public worship services in an orderly, beautiful way that follows who He is. There were some in the church trying to use gifts for the wrong reasons. For example, in 1 Corinthians 14, speaking in tongues had become divisive in the church, and so Paul laid out instructions on how to use that particular gift. The literal translation of tongues is the word languages. As we understand, language is used to communicate ideas and concepts. So the gift of tongues is the ability to communicate ideas and concepts cross-culturally. Today, one aspect of understanding the gift of tongues is to understand the difference between the miracle of tongues that happened at Pentecost and the gift of tongues to mean the ability to learn a different language in order to communicate cross-culturally. If you want to look at Paul's instruction to the church regarding tongues, look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 22 says, "Tongues then are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers." For instance, our liberal art universities within the Church of the Nazarene teach multiple foreign languages in order for students to understand the culture and the language to share the gospel. Jeanette and I both took a year of college Spanish with Mrs. Wills at Olivet. And we not only did we learn a little bit of Spanish through that, and I've forgotten most of it, but we learned the culture of the language, of the people that spoke the language. John 14:12. "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." I'd like to invite our worship team to come on up. Learning to appreciate the gift means a commitment to growing as a person and learning the value of humility so that the wonders of God can be done in the spirit of Jesus, having been crafted into His likeness. For this, even for the pain that helps us understand His suffering, we can be thankful. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the saints." 1 Corinthians 14:40, "But everything should be done fitting and in an orderly, done in a fitting and orderly way." I just use tongues as an example because it's so clearly laid out by our Apostle Paul in regards to the order that he desires in the church regarding the use of the gift of tongues. In the coming months, we will be helping those who so desire to discover their spiritual gifts to go through an assessment and see where they're gifted and how they can use them, how you can use them within the context of the church. I didn't get a chance to talk to Mike, but it seems like several times a week I get notifications from the General Church of the Nazarene that Mike James has enrolled in yet another class, taking continuing education in regards to Bible studies through the General Church of the Nazarene online. And I commend Brother Steve for his online courses that he's taking in leadership and Bible training. I commend Brianna for going to college and submitting to the process of refinement and development. Gifts contribute to the effectiveness of the church. Technical skills, engineering skills, speaking skills, they all contribute to the effectiveness of the church, bringing the kingdom of God here. Not just expecting God to do a miracle, but letting the kingdom of God reside in me. You have index cards. And if you're interested in participating in the process of discovering and utilizing your spiritual gifts within the context of living well, please place your name on the card and our ushers will receive the card, and I'll take them home and I'll present them to the Natural Church Development team in our church so that we can begin utilizing this interest and help all of us move ahead in our spiritual walk. I told you this message was going to be very practical, didn't I? And I hope that it was useful to you and helpful to you in your spiritual development and walk. Let's pray. Lord, use this message. Thank you for the patience that this congregation has exercised in wading into some deep water. Father, I pray today that this message has been effective, not because of the skill of the deliverer, but because of the heart of God. Lord, thank you that you've used me, and yet again I've seen a miracle happen because I know, Lord, my own limitations. And Lord, I thank you that you've used me. You've used each one of us here this morning to be a part of the body. From staffing the nursery this morning to putting up the words on the screen to greeting people at the door to doing the music to cleaning ahead of time, the prayers, each of us using our gifts as we worship you, Lord. We just praise you that we have witnessed the body of Christ. Now, Lord, help us be more effective, I pray. Help us to grow and not be intimidated by the development that you want to do in us, but rather, Lord, say, count me in. I will grow. I will submit to the process. I will learn. Give me the heart of Christ that I may exercise the gifts you've given me for the effectiveness and the building of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing Joy to the World. We sang this last week. I just thought it was real good as we participate in Advent during the Christmas season. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let's sing with the video.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let
Brother Brad, we have the word. Okay, not available. All right.
Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let now this song endure.
Wild fields
and blood, rocks, hills, and lanes. Repeat the sounding joy. Truth and grace and gain.